Today is the 15th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we wind ourselves to the end of another week. And I trust that it has been a week filled with the presence of the Lord in your life as we all each navigate all the issues that come our way. And I'm thankful that each and every day we have a place to return to realign ourselves with God and allow the scriptures to speak into our lives. And so that's what we have come here to do. Let's do that. We will obviously go back to where we left off, and that takes us back out into the book of 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, and we'll take the next step forward in Paul's letter to the Romans in the New. But first, 1 Chronicles, chapters 19, 20, and 21 today. Sometime later, the Ammonite king Nahash died, and his son succeeded him as king. "I'll be loyal to Nahash's son, Hanun," David said, "because his father was loyal to me." So David sent messengers with condolences about his father's death. But when David's servants arrived in the Ammonite territory to express his sympathy to Hanun, the Ammonite leaders asked Hanun, "Do you really believe David is honoring your father because he has sent you condolences?" "Of course not. His servants have come to search the city, spy it out, and overthrow it." So Hanun took David's servants, shaved them, cut off half their garments from their buttocks down, and sent them off. When this was reported to David, he sent messengers to the men because they were completely ashamed. The king said, "Stay in Jericho until your beards have grown. Then you can come back." When the Ammonites realized that they had offended David, Hanun and the Ammonites sent 1,000 kikars of silver to hire chariots and cavalry for themselves from Aram Naharaim, Aram Maacah, and Zobah. They hired 32,000 chariots, as well as King Maacah and his army, who came and camped in front of Medeba, while the Ammonites left their cities and came together ready for battle. When David heard this, he sent Joab and the entire army of warriors. The Ammonites marched out and formed a battle line at the entrance to the city, while the kings who had come remained in the countryside. When Joab saw that the battle would be fought on two fronts, he chose some of Israel's finest warriors and deployed them to meet the Arameans. The rest of the army Joab placed under the command of his brother Abishai. When they took up their positions to meet the Arameans, Joab said, "If the Arameans prove too strong for me, you must help me. And if the Ammonites prove too strong for you, I'll help you. Be brave. We must be courageous for the sake of our people and the cities of our God. The Lord will do what is good in his eyes." When Joab and the troops who were with him advanced into battle against the Arameans, they fled from him. When the Ammonites saw that the Arameans had fled, they also fled from his brother Abishai and retreated into the city. So Joab returned to Jerusalem. The Arameans saw that they had been defeated by Israel. They sent out messengers to bring Aramean reinforcements from the other side of the river, with Shophach, the commander of Hadadezer's army, at their head. Upon hearing this, David gathered all Israel and crossed the Jordan. David advanced and took up positions against the Arameans to meet them in battle. After initiating the battle, the Arameans fled before Israel, and David killed 7,000 Aramean chariot drivers and 40,000 foot soldiers. Shophach, the commander of their army, was killed too. When the servants of Hadadezer saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and served him. Never again would the Arameans come to the aid of the Ammonites. In the spring, the time when kings go to war, Joab marched out with the army, destroyed the land of the Ammonites, and besieged Rabbah. David stayed in Jerusalem while Joab attacked Rabbah and overthrew it. David took Milcom's crown from his head. He found that it weighed 1 kikar of gold and was set with a valuable stone. It was placed on David's head. The amount of loot David took from the city was huge. After removing the people who were in the city, David demolished the city with saws, iron picks, and axes, as he did to all the Ammonite cities. Then David and all his troops returned to Jerusalem. Once again, war broke out at Gezer with the Philistines. At that time, Sibekai the Hushathite killed Sipai, one of the descendants of the Rephah, and the Philistines were subdued. In another war with the Philistines, Jair's son Elanon killed Lami, the brother of Goliath the Gittite. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. At another war in Gath, there was a huge man with 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in all, who was also descended from Rephah. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, the son of David's brother Shimeah, killed him. These were descended from the Rephah in Gath, and they fell by the hands of David and his servants. A heavenly adversary arose against Israel and incited David to count Israel. So David told Joab and the leaders of the people, "Go throughout all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and take a census of the people, so I know how many people there are." But Joab replied, "May the Lord increase his people 100 times. Sir, aren't you the king? And aren't they all your servants? Why do you want to do this? Why bring guilt on Israel?" But the king overruled Joab, who left and traveled throughout all Israel. When he returned to Jerusalem, he reported to David the total number. There were 1,100,000 men available for military service in all Israel, while Judah alone had 470,000. He didn't include Levi and Benjamin among them because Joab disagreed with the king's order. God was offended by this census and punished Israel. Then David said to God, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Now please take away the guilt of your servant because I have done something very foolish." The Lord told Gad, David's seer, "Go and tell David, this is what the Lord says. I'm offering you 3 punishments. Choose one of them, and that is what I will do to you." When Gad came to David, he said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Take your choice. 3 years of famine, 3 months of fleeing from your enemies while your enemy's sword overtakes you, or 3 days of the Lord's sword, that is, plague in the land and the Lord's messenger bringing disaster in every part of Israel. Decide now what answer I should take back to the one who sent me." "I'm in deep trouble," David said to Gad. "I'd rather fall into the hands of the Lord, who is very merciful. Don't let me fall into human hands." So the Lord sent a plague throughout Israel, and 70,000 Israelites fell dead. Then God sent a messenger to Jerusalem to destroy it. But just as the messenger was about to destroy it, the Lord looked and changed his mind about the destruction. He said to the messenger who was destroying it, "That's enough. Withdraw your hand." At that time, the Lord's messenger was standing near the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. When David looked up, he saw the Lord's messenger stationed between the earth and the sky with a drawn sword in his hand stretched out against Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, dressed in mourning clothes, fell on their faces. And David said to God, "Wasn't it I who ordered the numbering of the people? I'm the sinner, the one responsible for this evil. But these sheep, what have they done? Lord, my God, turn your hand against me and my household, but spare your people from the plague." The Lord's messenger ordered Gad to tell David that he should go up to the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite in order to set up an altar for the Lord. So David went up, following the instructions Gad had delivered in the Lord's name. Ornan turned around and saw the king. His four sons who were with him hid themselves, but Ornan continued threshing wheat. When David approached Ornan, Ornan looked up, recognized David, left the threshing floor, and bowed to David with his face to the ground. David said to Ornan, "Give me the site of the threshing floor, charging me full price so that I may build an altar to the Lord, and the plague among the people may come to an end." Ornan replied to David, "Take it for yourself, and may my master the king do what he thinks is best. I'll even provide the oxen for the entirely burned offerings, the threshing boards for wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I'll provide everything." But King David said to Ornan, "No, I will buy them from you at a fair price. I won't offer to the Lord what belongs to you, nor offer an entirely burned offering that costs me nothing." Then David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the site. David built an altar there for the Lord and offered entirely burned offerings and well-being sacrifices. He called on the Lord, who answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of the entirely burned offering, consuming the entirely burned offering. Then the Lord commanded the messenger to return his sword to its sheath. At that time, after David saw that the Lord had answered him at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, he offered sacrifices there. The Lord's dwelling that Moses had made in the desert and the altar for entirely burned offerings were then at the shrine in Gibeon. But David couldn't go there to see God because he feared the sword of the Lord's messenger. Romans 2 25 through 3, 8. Circumcision is an advantage if you do what the law says. But if you are a person who breaks the law, your status of being circumcised has changed into not being circumcised. So if the person who isn't circumcised keeps the law, won't his status of being not circumcised be counted as if he were circumcised? The one who isn't physically circumcised, but keeps the law, will judge you. You became a lawbreaker after you had the written law and circumcision. It isn't the Jew who maintains outward appearances who will receive praise from God, and it isn't people who are outwardly circumcised on their bodies. Instead, it is the person who is a Jew inside who is circumcised in spirit, not literally. That person's praise doesn't come from people, but from God. So, what's the advantage of being a Jew? Or what's the benefit of circumcision? Plenty in every way. First of all, the Jews were trusted with God's revelations. What does it matter, then, if some weren't faithful? Their lack of faith won't cancel God's faithfulness, will it? Absolutely not. God must be true, even if every human being is a liar, as it is written, so that it can show that you are right in your words, and you will triumph when you are judged. But if our lack of righteousness confirms God's justice, what will we say? That God, who brings wrath upon us, isn't just? I'm speaking rhetorically. Absolutely not. If God weren't just, how could he judge the world? But if God's truth is demonstrated by my lie, and it increases his glory, why am I still judged as a sinner? Why not say, let's do evil things so that good things will come out of it? Some people who slander us accuse us of saying that, but these people deserve criticism. Psalm 11, for the music leader of David. I have taken refuge in the Lord. So how can you say to me, flee to the hills like a bird because the wicked have already bent their bows? They've already strung their arrows. They are ready to secretly shoot those whose heart is right. When the very bottom of things falls out, what can a righteous person possibly accomplish? But the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord, his throne is in heaven. His eyes see. His vision examines all of humanity. The Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. His very being hates anyone who loves violence. God will rain fiery coals and sulfur on the wicked. Their cups will be filled with nothing but scorching hot wind, because the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. Those whose heart is right will see God's face. Proverbs 19, 10 through 12. Luxury isn't fitting for a fool, even less so for a servant to rule over princes. Insightful people restrain their anger. Their glory is to ignore an offense. A raging king roars like a lion. His favor is like the dew on the grass. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, we are so grateful for this gift, the tangible gift of the scriptures that we can hold in our hands and engage with every single day. We are so grateful. It is the reason that there is a global campfire. It is the reason that we gather each day. And so we thank you for your word, and we thank you for bringing us through another week. Another week that we can immerse ourselves in the scriptures and then practice living them out in our lives. And so we thank you for all that you have done, and we rejoice in you. And we are humbled by your patience. We are humbled by your long-suffering towards us. We love you, Lord. Lead us forward as we take the next step into a new week. Lead us forward, building upon all that you have done in our lives this week. May week upon week upon week compound and build us up in you, that we may represent you well, that we may make you proud. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base, and that is where you can find out what's going on. And so indeed, check it out. You can download the Daily Audio Bible app from the app store that works with your device. Just search for Daily Audio Bible, and that puts everything in the palm of your hand. Check out the community section. Get connected. Check out the prayer wall that is there in the community section. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there for the journey that we are on. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly. Thank you humbly. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't a group effort, if we weren't in this together. So thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Dear DAB family, my name is Mariana Manley from Indianapolis, Indiana. And our family has just lost our dear cousin Patty after waiting for 2.5 years for a new kidney. Patty touched so many lives, and Father God was drawing her close to him the last 3.5 months as our family was loving on her regularly. It was one of the most beautiful things to witness how she opened up to receive Jesus's love. We had many heaven-touching earth visits together. Please pray for her large Catholic family that will gather July 12th and 13th to celebrate her life and then bury her. She will be missed tremendously. Praying for Holy Spirit to draw the relatives to a personal relationship with God through Jesus during and after the funeral. And also for creative ways for a family of seven how to minister to this grieving family with the love of Jesus that brings healing, truth, and freedom in some practical ways that not only moves the relatives' hearts, but also God's heart as well. Thank you so much for praying. We would like to follow the Holy Spirit's lead and reach out to the three adult children, the five grandchildren, the four siblings of Patty and their families, cousins, countless nieces and nephews. So thank you so much for praying. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Hey, Jerry. It's Dr. John in Jordan, New York. I just finished listening to you talking about your mom in hospice and her hope to go to heaven. And it took me right back to my mom when she was in a spot where she was not expected to survive or, you know, was really, really sick. And she said, I really want to meet Jesus. I hope he wants to meet me too. And I love that. And yeah, I love your mom too. That's fantastic. So they can get together in Jesus, tell her to look out for Marie and say hi for me. And Jerry, God will carry you through this. He did me. And it was a very special time being with my mom as she passed. So God bless you, watch over you, and keep praying for my daughter Phoebe. She's heading to Duluth in the middle of August for her family medicine obstetric fellowship. So she'll be in the neighborhood. All right, Jerry, you take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Karen in Florida. Just sitting today and reading, listening to the word, and just wanted to pray for all of us, because I know I'm certainly probably not alone in this, but you know, I sit and I want so much to read and to hear the word and to pray every day, and I sit and here we are with this beautiful presentation by the Hardin family, and my mind just wanders. And I find myself just frustrated with that, because I want to be attentive and glean from the word and grow in my faith. And I think about all the people around the world who are dying just to get a copy of the word of God. And here we are, we have multiple languages, multiple different translations that we can read, and our minds just wander into the things of this world, and I don't think I'm alone. But so I just pray, Lord, today that you would help us all as we seek to grow close to you and to listen to and read your word and all that Brian has to teach us, and to pray for others. And thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And I ask you to help us all, because we need you, Lord. What would we do without you in this world? We're desperate for your touch in our lives, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity with the DAB family and for the word of God that you so graciously have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, friends and neighbors. It's Lisa the Encourager. I was calling in today to pray for Chicago Peg. The Lord has been laying you on my mind, so I want to say a prayer for you. I appreciate your beautiful prayers and your beautiful voice and all of those that you reach out to in your community and our community here. So I just want to pray for you, Chicago Peg. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for Chicago Peg. We thank you for her beautiful voice and beautiful spirit and her beautiful prayers. She's always praying for others, and I just thank you for her kindness and love in her prayer life. Dear Lord, I pray wherever she is today in her walk with her health, her finances, her family members and her friends, Lord, I pray special blessings over her, Lord, and protection over her, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for her beautiful spirit and her love. And I pray that she's able to reach out to others in a mighty way and continue to be a blessing. Thank you so much, God, for all the prayer warriors and all the people that call in. And we thank you, God, so much for hearing our prayers and intervening on our behalf when we are going through struggles or our friends or family are going through things. We know that we can just be a voice away from just calling upon your name, and you hear us and you love us and you have compassion and empathy for our situations because you walked on this earth and you know the struggles that we all encounter. So God, we thank you. We thank you for Chicago Peg, and we thank you for many others in the Daily Audio Bible community that pray for all of us. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray.